Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Hunter Fortson, one of the youth ministers at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Hunter's message.
If you do not know who I am, and if you can't tell, I'm not your preacher. Thank goodness for that. My name is Hunter Fortson, and I'm one of the youth ministers here. I've been here for about 4 months now. And it's been a pretty good 4 months, I'd say. And I'd like to commend you guys as a church for how well you've done on accepting me and inviting me in as your family. It feels really good to be here. I really feel like I'm one of you guys. From day one, it felt that way. And so if you're new here and if you're looking for a church home, in my opinion, there's no better place to be. And I can attest to the fact that this is a great church home for all of you. So like Ken said, today is a little bit different. Today's our back-to-school blessing, so we'll have a shorter sermon. Thank goodness for that as well. And then we'll move into a blessing and a prayer activity that we have for us. But most of our schools are starting this week or the next week, and the start of school is a very anxious time for a lot of people. You might be starting on a new campus, you might be moving out of state or have just moved, so there's a lot of new challenges that everybody is facing. And the idea for today is that everybody involved in the school system will feel blessed and encouraged today. And so if you're not involved in the school system in any way, it's our job as their church family to make them feel encouraged and to make them feel blessed today. So I want to start by focusing on the teachers today. You teachers have a very difficult job, to say the least. It can be hard to connect with a lot of the kids. For starters, they say all these weird words and phrases at weird times. And it can be confusing to understand what some of these words mean. So to help you out, I've created a top 8 list of the most frequent words that the kids use these days. And rest assured, they have all been said in the youth room in the past month. And the hard part is that if you don't know these words, you're not cool. And somehow, if you do know these words, you're still not cool. And parents, feel free to listen to, because I'm 100% sure these have been said in your homes as well. So let's take a look at the first one. The first one I have for you today is high key. Number one, high key. What high key means is everybody knows it's really good. It's good and everybody knows it. The thing I think of is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is really good. Everybody knows it's the Lord's chicken. Everybody knows it. Number two I have for you today, on a similar note, low key. What low key means is it's really good, but not a lot of people know it. A thing I think of is Sprite. Sprite is a really good soda, but it's not the top few sodas, but it's still a really good soda. It's low key, really good. Number three makes me cringe when I say it, bussin'. what this means in regards to food, typically, is just means it's really good. Typically, you'll hear one of the youth group girls come in with one of those Starbucks Frappuccino drinks, and they'll say, man, this drink is bussin'. Just means it's really good. And Liana knows what I'm talking about. number four is cap and no cap. What cap means is you're lying. And no cap, on the other hand, means you're telling the truth. Those are pretty cut and dry. The fifth one I have for you is one that I've adopted into my lingo is bet. And there is no actual bet or wager being made. It just means, okay. If you text, this just means thumbs up. If you text me and you say, hey, I'm on the way, I could just say, okay, bet. Cool. Just means good. Number six is probably the most literal of all these words, facts. Facts are facts. It's like the younger way of saying amen. If I say something, that's right, yeah. If I say something in class that the kids agree with, they'll be like, that's facts, Hunter. That's what it means. Number seven I have for you is sus. It comes from suspect or suspicious. So if somebody's acting really shady, they're acting sus. For you teachers, if you see somebody cheating on a test, they're looking down at their phone, you could say, hey, why are you acting so sus? And they'll know what you mean. Number eight is the most common. It is riz. And what riz means is charisma. That's where it comes from. It just means somebody has good charisma. It is the most common in the youth room today. And it was said 7 days ago in the youth room as I was teaching class. I was talking about the character of God and how God describes himself in the book of Exodus. And a kid who will remain nameless raised his hand and said, so you could say God has good riz? No, but what are you going to do? So But these are the types of things that teachers have to worry about and deal with. Hopefully you see a little bit of ridiculousness in there. But you have to worry about connecting with a different generation. And I get to experience what it's like teaching and interacting with youth kids for maybe 2 hours out of the week on a good week. And you teachers have to do it for 8 hours out of the day. And there are times where I struggle to entertain my youth kids for that 1 hour on a Wednesday because kids are just hard to entertain. They don't listen, they put their headphones in and pretend you don't see, or maybe even they fall asleep. Or if you're a math teacher, they just have a general distaste for the topic that you're teaching. But it's hard to be a teacher. You're underappreciated and you're undervalued, and you're asked to do a task that not many people want to do, but it's one that God has blessed you with a passion for. So I want to share with you Paul's words that he wrote in Galatians 6:9, and it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So to the teachers, do not give up, and do not become disheartened. You're doing a great job in a very difficult profession. What you do is so valuable, and I know that you're doing good in the students' lives. Teachers, thank you for taking on a challenging job that very few seem to want. And I encourage you to continue to show the love of Jesus to those students, to show them an unparalleled level of patience and grace when they need it at their most, and to show them forgiveness when they're testing you on your worst days. So teachers, good luck this year. Now to the parents, you have the most important job on the planet. When it comes to the development of children, there is no bigger influence in a child's life than their parents. And so as you get ready to send your child off to school for another year, you know that there will be things that will compete for their attention and will compete with God to be the most important thing in their life. And you know that they will face temptations every day on a daily basis to live and act and speak in ways that are not Christian-like. So what can you do as parents to pass on your faith to your children and help them to put God first in their lives? Well, I want to look at Deuteronomy 6:5-9. And it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So in this passage, God specifically calls out the parents and gives them instructions to pass this commandment on to their children, to impress on them this commandment. And as I Googled this phrase, impress upon, I came upon this definition of the phrase. And it says, to make someone understand or be familiar with the importance or value of something. So what this passage is saying to us is that we need to emphasize the importance of living out the greatest commandment. And then after saying this, it goes on pretty much to say, live your life as this commandment. Talk to your kids about it. When you go home or when you leave from home, in the morning or at night, write it on your forehead and paint it on your walls that you yourself love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That is what makes the impression on your kids. It goes farther than taking your kids to church and dropping them off. You yourself also need to live out this commandment. You need to live out this commandment so that it makes the correct impression on your children and so that they see what your priorities are. And I hope I'm not coming off as naive because I do not know the daily struggles of parenting a child. I have a dog and he's a little bit of a terror and I struggle to parent him sometimes. But what I do know is that this commandment needs to be lived. So parents, as the school year begins, let this be your reminder of the role that you play in your child's life. That you have the most important developmental role in your child's life, whether they admit it and whether you admit it. And a challenge to you to live this commandment out for the school year. Make your faith a priority. And if you do that, your children will model that behavior. And some encouragement to you parents as well, that you're doing a really good job. Having worked with your kids for several months now, I can assure you, you're doing a really good job. Your kids love God and they love you, and I think that's pretty good. So parents, good luck this school year. I know you'll need it. Now to the students. I regret to inform you that summer is over. It's time to get back to the real world. No more staying up till 4 and sleeping till 2 p.m. No more playing Fortnite with your youth minister in the middle of a weekday. You're a student in school now. And it's a new year, and it's a new opportunity. I do have some good news, though. You have zero grades in the gradebook right now. You have no missing assignments, no failed test scores, and if this applies to you, you've been sent to the principal's office zero times. And I think that's pretty good. But you have a chance this year to be better than you were last year, to make better grades, to be a better student, to be a better friend, to be a better son or daughter, or even to pick better friends. It's a new year and a lot of time has passed, but these habits start early. They don't start in May or February, they start in August. And you have to be the one to put in the effort if you want to see results. So I want to read Isaiah 40, 30, and 31 for you. It says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So students, you're at the beginning of a marathon. The school year is long and it's taxing, and there's a lot of ups and downs that come. And there's more going on in your life than just submitting assignments and taking test scores. You're figuring out who you are. You're making and choosing friends. You're getting jobs or trying to find jobs. You're going through breakups. And there's so much more going on in your life. And sometimes it may feel like being a student is the last thing that's on your mind. And that's okay. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to have a bad week. It might even be okay to have a bad month. One of my favorite sayings that somebody told me in college when I was going through a rough patch, he said, "It's okay to not be okay sometimes." And I think you guys need to hear that. But when you're not okay, and sometimes you won't be, I pray that in those moments you put your hope in the Lord, like this passage says, so that he can renew your strength. I pray in those moments you know that your parents love you, and that your family and your church family loves you. And specifically to the youth group, I pray you guys know Danik and I love you very much. And I promise we'll listen to any phone call you give us. So, students, good luck this year. I know you'll do well. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a student, I hope you remember to put your faith in God this school year and let him do his thing. Thank you. Let's sing.